In India, tobacco use is so widespread, 1 million deaths every year are attributed to its use. Tobacco can be stuffed inside a wide variety of cigarettes and bidis, minced into a masala of spices known as gutkha, or piled on top of pan, a leafy, addictive stimulant that multiplies a user's risk of oral cancer almost tenfold. Those 1 million deaths a year are one reason why the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control is being held in Delhi this year. Run by the World Health Organization, the convention is dedicated to curbing tobacco use.
About 15 years ago, the World Health Organization, which is the UN's public health arm, decided they wanted to combat tobacco use. So they created a treaty, which turned out to be sort of a sub-agency of the organization. And it's called the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. And every 2 years, this treaty has a legislative meeting. So it's sort of like a congress of all the people, all the countries who have signed on to the treaty. There are 180 countries who get together every 2 years and vote on issues about tobacco use, tobacco reduction policies, and things like that.
But who gets a say in what the WHO does is a hotly contested matter. Only 30 members of the public and selected members of the media are treated to stage-managed press conferences with no opportunity to ask tough questions. Nations with state-owned tobacco companies are warmly welcomed, but anyone with the slightest connection to a private tobacco company is shown the exit. With less than 5% of our annual funding coming from corporations, some of which have an interest in this issue, Reason TV was not allowed in the door. But an official lanyard attached to my hotel room key was all it took to walk past the security theater and join the approved media groups.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the challenges faced by India in the realm of tobacco control are formidable. We continue to take strong steps for regulation of the smokeless tobacco products and have prohibited the production, sale, transportation, and storage of certain forms of smokeless tobacco.
Being excluded from the conference didn't go over well with India's tobacco farmers. After just a few minutes of protest outside the convention, 500 farmers were corralled by police and detained inside this local police station. After a brief negotiation and a bribe offered from an unnamed source outside of Reason TV, leaders of the movement were temporarily released to speak with us outside the walls of the police station.
They have arrested us and brought us to a police station, and then they have detained us inside. Nothing violent has taken place. We just marched towards the venue where we were planning to have our own meeting. We are protesting to save our livelihoods. The FCTC process is going on in a very undemocratic manner. We have been representing to the government to consider our pleas not to go excessive on the regulations, because it's our livelihoods at stake. But unfortunately, it's not being done.
As the farmers were being released from jail that evening, convention delegates voted to expel the media from the remainder of the conference. That's when Drew Johnson took a stand by staying seated.
I got asked to leave. I did not. And ultimately, a group of security guards physically removed me, pulled me out of the building. And this is a large ballroom. There are 1,500 delegates. It was quite a scene, as you can imagine, but I thought it was completely inappropriate that the media was kicked out, because this is ultimately a taxpayer-funded event of people making legislation that could impact the lives of 6 billion people, 90% of the people on Earth, and there's no accountability, there's no transparency. So when the media were kicked out, I decided the next morning I would go in and try to do my job as a journalist and write a story about what was going on that day.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
If it's hard to understand why a $4 billion organization like the WHO feels threatened by both journalists and the average Indian farmer who lives on about $3 a day, it's worth recalling the source of all that hostility.
Yes or no? Do you believe nicotine is not addictive?
I believe nicotine is not addictive, yes.
There was certainly a lot of mistrust of the tobacco industry, and a lot of it, frankly, is the industry's fault for some of the facts that they hid and some of the ways that they, the tactics that they used to try to keep people smoking.
Congressman,
Cigarettes and nicotine clearly do not meet the classic definitions of addiction. There is no intoxication.
Right. We'll take that as a no. And
but now we've reached a point where that hesitance to engage with the tobacco industry has also impacted things like e-cigarettes and vaping products and things that people actually use to stop smoking.
We bring down the number of active or hardened smokers in the country.
Yeah.
As the World Health Organization turns its attention to regulating the vaping industry, a small but determined political resistance is forming across Asia.
Association of Vapers India, it's a fairly new body that we formed as a consumer forum to work with the regulatory framework to help influence the policymakers, to make sure that they understand. We get information from the scientists, work with them, and present these cases back to the influencers of policymakers.
Also pushing back is Aaron Biebert, a documentary filmmaker who has set up his own press conferences in Delhi to counter the WHO narrative and spread the gospel of vaping.
The WHO is doing this really shady stuff where they're not inviting the media to be a part of it. They're kicking media out of this event. But they're inviting people like China, who is the world's largest tobacco company, literally, government-run monopoly, into this. They're also allowing people that are bought and paid for by big pharmaceutical companies to come in. I mean, all these cancer societies are granted access to witness this stuff. Clearly, they have a huge conflict of interest because they take money from the same pharmaceutical companies that make Nicorette gum and then lobby against the competitors of that gum. It doesn't make any sense. It makes me very suspicious.
It remains to be seen whether a nation concerned with purity of spirit will be able to legislate purity of the body. Already, mandatory disclaimers appear in Bollywood movies whenever a character smokes a cigarette. And the state of Punjab has arrested Parvesh Kumar, a salesman of electronic cigarettes, sentencing him to 3 years of hard labor.
This vapor technology has come out of the box, and there's no putting it back in.
The real challenge here, I think, is to tell the story of what goes on behind these closed doors, which are well-meaning people, for the most part, who are trying to get people to stop smoking, that do the wrong thing.
Right or wrong, it can't be easy getting 180 signatory nations to agree on much of anything. This year, the seventh session of the Congress of the Parties resolved only two things of note: reaffirming their determination to regulate vaping products and further limiting access to the convention by the public due to potential tobacco industry interference. Two resolutions that seem designed to elicit more protest from the public at the next conference 2 years from now.
Nobody tells me what to do. Nobody tells me